Blog Talk Radio.
Living Out Loud is hosted by Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author of What Price Power, an in-depth study of professional women in a relationship. She's an expert on depression, women's issues, and attaining happiness. Dr. Birnbaum has been featured on Oprah 2020 and some of the biggest TV radio venues in the world. Now, without further ado, here's your host of Living Out Loud, Dr. Frieda Birnbaum.
Hello, welcome everyone. We're going to have a really fun show today. We're going to be interpreting dreams, and that's going to be very interesting. It's something that we walk around with and wonder about. Now we don't have to wonder anymore what these dreams that we're having can mean and can really play a significant part in our lives. So, you know, a lot has been going on. Do we have time to talk, or is our guest available?
Of course, yeah. We're going to be with Miss Lasley. Her name is Justina Lasley, and we'll be with her in a few minutes. But I guess there are some things that have happened this week. And let me, Frieda, you know, you talk with so many people. What are some of the, are there any particular common dreams or things that people bring to your attention that they ask you to work on?
Well, you know, a common dream is someone chasing you, jumping up right before something horrible happens. You know, basically being out of control. I had someone who just gave me a dream of his, and he is on a hill, and no one can reach him, and he needs to find a way to safety. And he's looking for it. And that's interesting because in his real life, that's really what's happening. The dream is telling him that he needs to find a remedy for his struggling and where he needs to go in his own life and actually escape everyone around him because everyone's demanding and wanting from him. And here he's on this hill, and it does not have the same significance of being on the same level as everyone else. So he's above them looking down, and he is not part of them anymore, but he has to find a way to escape completely. I think a lot of us have that situation where there are people around us who really are not giving us the right vibes. They're not giving us the right attitude and information that is good for us, and we need to get away from them. And sometimes it's hard to determine that. When people are smiling and show that they care for you, these people are also not good for you at the same time. So we really have to be aware of our surroundings. And often it's if you don't feel good when you're walking away from someone, if something doesn't feel quite right, then that is really a concern that you have to look into. Why are you with someone that could be toxic for you?
Okay, so, I mean, do you also think that dreams are a way of people being able to express what they can't express in their waking reality?
Always. You know, we have these feelings that we go around and with this anxiety that we go around with, and they're always underlying situations that we can't pinpoint our feelings with. And, you know, dreams do that, and you have to take a pencil and a piece of paper and keep it next to you, and make a conscious effort to know that if you do that, you could actually remember your dreams and wake up, because there are certain times that those dreams can be remembered, and write it down, because you will forget them if you don't.
Okay, Frieda, Dr. Frieda, that being said, we'll bring on our guest for today. Her name is Justina Lasley, M.A. She's the founder and director of the Institute of Dream Studies. She's author of several books on dreams, including Wake Up, Use Your Nightmare Dreams to Make Your Daytime Dreams Come True. So, Ms. Lasley, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for being on. So, we have a lot of questions. What is one of your interesting dreams that you could tell us that you've heard?
Oh, gosh. That's a big question. You know, there's so many. I heard you Dr. Frieda, just talking about how important it is and to remember and write down your dreams. I totally agree with that. I can give some examples from the books of interesting dreams that either I or my clients have shared with me for the book. I've used dreams. I think it's really interesting how they help us with health issues. And a lot of times people don't know that dreams will give us indication of physical, of illness, ways to improve our health and to get over injury and things. And I myself have actually been diagnosed through a dream where the doctors were having a hard time with the dream. And yeah, it's amazing because I have lupus.
Could you tell us about that? You were diagnosed with something because of your dream?
Yes. Right. Mm. I had been going to many doctors over the years, and they just could not pinpoint what was going on for me. A lot of different physical things were happening. And I happened to be back in graduate school at that time, and the doctor at the infirmary at graduate school was a Native American. And when he found out that I was back in graduate school to study dreams, he was very interested. So when I was going to Emory and Duke, and they were having a hard time with it, and he said, "Why don't you tell me some of your dreams?" And so I told him of a dream that I had had recently about these little organisms crawling up my childhood wall. And he actually stood there drawing all I was talking about and how I said the organisms look on the examining paper, on the table. And he said, "I know what test I'm going to order." And he ordered a test which showed, I wish I had all of that information. I've tried to find it. But it was more dealing with the white blood cells than they had found before. And that triggered them to do more blood work. And with that, they found, it led them to discover the diagnosis for it. And then I had dreams that helped me when I hurt my hand and they couldn't resolve those issues. And I have a wonderful dream, if you want me to tell you, about some snakes that were released from my hand.
Really?
Yeah.
I would love to hear that. What's that all about? So, but before we go on, are you telling us that sometimes this dream, a dream that you have, can interpret the problem, a medical problem that you have? Is that right?
Yes, I have a lot of examples of that. People diagnosed with cancer where they knew something was wrong with them. One person kept going back to the doctor and they just kept, ignoring it. And I mean, they were doing tests, but nothing was showing up. And he just insisted after he had another nightmare about people putting burning needles and things in his throat. He went back to the doctor, and they actually found that he did have throat cancer, and the tests were not picking it up. I used to not understand how this could be, but then I started thinking about it, and I thought, what do we think, that someone outside or a machine knows more about our bodies than we know? We are born to keep our bodies in balance. I mean, they are designed to be healthy. And so the minute something gets off kilter in our bodies, our body knows, and then our dream is aware of all of that firsthand. So it makes sense that it would come through our dreams to begin with.
So this is so important for our listeners to know that they can tap into this. If they have any kind of discomfort, concerns, or they feel that there's something not right, there could be a reason for that. Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. And one thing I want the listeners to know is to remember that dreams are metaphorical, symbolic language. So if in the dream they have you know, they have cancer in the dream. I don't want them to be alarmed, because a dream is not going to speak in that kind of language. Usually in a dream, when I have a client that, you know, says, oh my gosh, in my dream last night I had cancer. Like, what is cancer? Well, it's a unleashed kind of growth that is harmful to our body. And so usually if you actually had cancer in a dream, it may have and probably does have more to do with something that's going out of control, that has a negative factor in your life. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
That would not be it. So it's going to be something like, okay, I had a friend, this is quick, that woke up and there were fire engines going off, red flashing lights he could see, and he had no idea why he dreamed that. The next day, he had a heart attack.
Wow.
Well, do you mind if I ask you, Ms. Fuzzy, what is the difference between somebody who's having a dream and the difference between somebody who's having a near-death experience? As to say, in their sleep, they could have a heart attack, or something could be happening where they do die, and you know they don't realize it. So, what's the difference between a near death experience and a dream?
Well, it's really interesting because you know the book Proof of Heaven, Evan Alexander's book. Evan Alexander spoke at our International Dream Conference 2 years ago about his actual death experience, and he is a neurosurgeon, and he had never believed in anything like that, and had actually died and came back and had, you know, the experience of afterlife. Now, as I sat there listening to him, it sounded to me like some of the dreams that I had, not that I think he really experienced this. His was different. But I thought, people don't realize that this beautiful way of feeling is actually available in dreams. I thought, we don't have to die to experience another realm of consciousness. And I just, so when you say, what's the difference? I mean, you know, there is a difference in that we are asleep. There's different activity in the brain and activity in the body for dreams, different than the near-death experience. But there's a lot of similarity.
Could I give you some experience that I had with something like that? Now, it's interesting that you're talking about this. That I was on an airplane and it didn't look like we were going to make it, to tell you the truth. And for some reason, my mind, and it's interesting because my daughter said, do not get on that plane. The windshield factor was not good, whatever. Visibility was not good. We got on anyway. And I envisioned, even the stewardess was panicking. So that tells you something.
Whoa.
Right there.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? You look to them for comfort.
Yeah.
So I envisioned myself walking in Manhattan and such a euphoric state that I never felt afterwards again. It was bliss. And something about that feeling was not within my control.
Mm-hmm.
So this feeling, yes, I don't know where it came from.
Well, it sounds like a gift. I mean, to move from a state of panic to that state of bliss, it seems like you did go into another form of consciousness that allowed you to be in that. And, you know, the more we can learn that those ways of feeling are available to us, and we have to learn to tap into them. What I suggest when someone has a dream with a really good feeling, like you were talking about walking down the street in New York, feeling a sense of bliss, I invite them to use that dream to tap into in difficult situations. Like you get into a situation, remember how you felt in that dream. So it's much easier than telling ourselves, why don't you calm down and why don't you quit panicking and all of these things. That's hard to do because we're trying to do something that, you know, we may not feel like doing right then. But the dream offers a lot of opportunities for us to change our way of feeling and thinking in a difficult time in our life.
This is where our psyches go on time of desperation and despair or, you know, death experience?
Well, I don't know. I've really never had this conversation. So a lot of things that I'm saying right now, I'm just using my experience and, and my knowledge I think it's a very interesting thing, but I wonder if that is not true, that that's where our psyche would like to go, but our ego and, you know, daily waking behavior prevents that sometimes. It would be an interesting thing to start to watch
to
and
study,
ask people about.
To ask people about, that would be an interesting study itself. So you were going to tell us about something about snakes?
Yes. This dream is called Extracting Snake from a Dirt Dauber's Nest. Now, at this time, I had injured my hand, and I had been to several of the best hand specialists in the country. And because of the lupus, with lupus, sometimes our body doesn't heal as it normally would. So it was sort of self-destructing in a way, my hand was. And they didn't really know. They had done everything they knew to do. And this is the dream that I had. A woman notices a nest of some kind on the door handle inside the car. I am in the passenger seat, and the nest is on my door. She says it has to come out. She doesn't alarm me, but says she will get it out. She carefully takes the clay nest off the door and examines it. It looks like a dirt dauber's nest. I think how dangerous this could be. She seems very capable of doing it. She carefully puts the nest, the clay nest, underwater in a sink. She then breaks off the tip of one of the nest tubes and cautiously pulls out a poisonous snake. It was a rattlesnake. She adeptly and consciously breaks the neck of the snake by flicking it with her fingers. She continues to repeat the process with each of the nest tubes until all the poisonous snakes have been destroyed. I am very nervous about it all, but she is calm and focused. Well, this is an example of how important it is to either write your dreams, draw your dreams, or share your dreams. I had actually written this dream down, but I had not told anyone about it or drawn the dirt dauber's nest. I don't know if you and the listeners are familiar with dirt daubers, but they're like a wasp, but they build their nest out of clay in several vertical tubes that are connected. Well, I was leading a dream group at that time, and this dream seemed very important, so I shared it with them the next morning or so. And some of them didn't know what the dirt dauber's nest was. So I said, actually, it looks like a hand. And I held my hand up. Now, never in my life had I realized that a dirt dauber's nest looks exactly like the fingers of a hand. I was like, oh, my gosh, because my left hand was just crippled. I held up my right hand. I said, it looked like a hand. They knew I was having a problem with my hand and realized that this was probably about my hand. Well, I went to PT, to physical therapy, that week, and I told her about this dream. And because they had put it underwater, she said, that is so interesting. We have a new electric underwater treatment that we just got in this week. She said, let's try it on your hand. We don't have anything to lose. And so they started treating my hand underwater with electrical currents, and it started to improve. And also what I did was a visualization. And several times a day, I would just imagine pulling the poisonous snakes out of my finger. And I think, you know, the combination of those two things really saved my hand.
Well,
it's amazing,
it is an amazing story. And there's so many people out there who have dreams who don't pull them in the way you did. So one way, as I said, was to write it down when you wake up. Are there any other ways that people can remember dreams?
Yes. A lot of times people have a hard time remembering their dreams. Some people remember them easily. Some people it's more difficult. So I say the first thing is intention of wanting to remember their dreams. And just by them listening to the program today, that is intentional. They could have turned us off when they heard we were talking about dreams, but they're listening. And so the psyche knows that you're paying attention and will reward you for doing that. It's important to get a dream journal and to keep your dreams. It shows an honoring of the dreams, to respect your dreams. I always put paper and pencil under my pillow or beside my bed. So if I wake up in the night, I make myself write it down. And I don't know if you've experienced this, Dr. Frieda, but it's so easy to talk yourself out of that in the night. I think, I'm not going to forget this dream. It's so vivid to me right now. And then if I don't make notes, I wake up in the morning and think, what was that dream? It was so important.
You know what's so interesting about what you're telling us is that I went to a dream seminar once, and I went to sleep, and they told us to remember the dream and wake up and write it down. Well, guess what? I woke up, I remembered the dream, and I wrote it down. Who knows how that happened? But the dream was about me. I was the bird, and I was flying, and there was a pool below me, a blue pool, and I was flying into that pool until I noticed that it wasn't there wasn't any water. It's just that the pool was blue. And that was the end of my dream. So, you know, I don't have too many dreams, and I guess the interpretation is what? It's not a good thing. I had nowhere to swim. I didn't have anywhere to land. And so the blue was a false sense of,
Of water. I know it's hard in a few moments, but the bird, you know, there's such freedom and a different perspective that birds have that we don't have, because they can look at things from a distance. But what happened to the bird? Did it land?
That's a good question. I think the bird flew away. The bird was trying to land on the water. It looked so welcoming. But when the bird got down there, there was no water. It was just a pool that was blue. And I guess the bird did not land. And
so
that was the end of the dream.
So it probably flew back off, so it didn't get hurt. That's the thing.
No.
A lot of times people think something, you know, terrible happens, and they tell me about this. You know, it would be like you saying, and the bird tried to land, and it didn't, you know, there wasn't any water, but when they realized that it wasn't harmed, it was an awareness the bird had that there is no water there. So I would always want to know what was happening in your life at that time, and that is the reason I encourage people to, in their dream journal, write a synopsis of the day's events. Because for me, if that had happened at a time where I was looking in the wrong place to land, to put myself in either a job or thinking of moving or something, that I would want to take a step back of, is this a safe place for me to land? And
interesting. I was going for my PhD at the time, but yes, a lot of looking back. So let me ask you, what about some of the common dreams that we have, you know, Ronnie, somebody's chasing us or being under a car, and then you wake up all of a sudden before you're killed off. You know, those are commonly occurring dreams. What does that usually tell you?
Well, there are dream themes that I'm sure many of the listeners have. You mentioned chase, water. You mentioned the lack of water, but a lot of water in dreams. There are dreams of birth. We had a call in last night about a birth dream. All these are universal dream themes. The idea of exams, having an exam and not being prepared for the exam, not having your book, never been to class, and now you've got to take an exam. So there are many universal themes, and they have universal meanings, but they also have the personal meanings. And that's where I always like people to go first, is what does that personally mean to me? I don't want to encourage people to go to a dream dictionary. I would like for them to actually create their own dream dictionary. So if I were in a chase dream, I would want to know who's chasing me and why. So often we run ahead in a chase dream, never looking back, and really don't know what's chasing us. And so when I ask a dreamer, when they share a dream of being chased, and they're so frightened, and they're going to be caught, and their heart's pounding when they wake up, and all these things are going on, they're sort of stopped when I say, well, what was chasing you?
That's interesting. You know, I just want to tell you, my interpretation when someone tells me that they're having a nightmare or a student worrying about their grades, their tests, I always say it's a good thing, because when you're dreaming about something that's extremely frightening, it's often because you're already riding over the waves. A student who is not having nightmares and didn't study, then they don't have to worry about anything. But often when you're working hard, it comes out almost in a toxic phase when you're sleeping, and it's not necessarily my interpretation that it's a bad thing. It's often a working through process that you wake up and you have done the work already. So that's just another way I find that's been very helpful to interpreting some of the stressors when you're sleeping. I just want to ask quickly, Ryan, who's on with us, give us one of your dreams. We're waiting.
Okay. Well, this is I've been having this recurring dream, I'd say, for the last 10 years, so if either one of you wants to take a shot at this. I went to school, and at one point, I was in a fraternity. I was loosely associated with it. They weren't people I was particularly very close with. Yet, I have reoccurring dreams all the time of going back, seeing these people, having conversations with these people. I have no idea what the significance or meaning about it is. And I'm constantly being brought back to this place at school, and it keeps on telling me that I never graduated, which was strange because I did graduate. I graduated well, and I graduated, good, and it keeps on telling me that I never graduated, and I can't figure it out. And it's bringing me back, and the dreams are all reoccurring. All the dreams, they tie together. Like, what had occurred in one dream is remembered and thought of as a symptom of knowledge.
Really? Well, always, Ryan, like to pay attention to recurring dreams. Recurring dreams and nightmares are dreams, not bad dreams, even though sometimes they make us feel anxious. They are good dreams coming with a message that has not been resolved, a situation that has not been resolved. That's why it keeps coming back to us. So the idea of a school and fraternity party, I think the main thing is to go in and see, how did I feel at that point in my life? What was going on at that point in my life? What did the fraternity mean to me? And write down some of those things for you.
Okay.
Do you know right off how did you, I know that at that point in our lives when people dream about college and being back in college, a lot of my clients are dealing with a transition in their life now, that at that point you're dealing with transition, choosing a career, making important decisions for life. And I would pay attention, too, of who appears in the dream. Do you know some of the specific people that come forward in that dream?
I know some of the specific people, but it's strange that these are people, again, who I had loose association with. I was in a fraternity for one purpose, which was basically very low. I was only minimally involved with it, But these people I talk to these people more in my dreams than I did ever in my real life. So it's the strangest
thing
in the world.
It's an amazing thing how when we don't know people well, we still know something about them. People will say, well, this guy in my third grade was in my dream. I have not thought about him since the third grade, probably. So I'll say, well, tell me three descriptive words of that person. And they say, well, I really didn't know him well. I was like, no, your description of who he was. And they go, well, he was really quiet. He sat on the back row, and he didn't participate much. And I said, does that remind you of a part of yourself right now? And they're like, oh, my, that's exactly the way I was acting yesterday. And I wasn't participating, and I don't know what was going on with me. But you see, the dream can pull up somebody from so much of our past that represents a part of ourselves right now, and we can see it more easily through them than we can see it by someone identifying that part
interesting. I'm just going to say one thing because it's been so fascinating. We do have to come to a close. But one quick question, and maybe it's not going to give us a quick answer. But, you know, we often dream about people that have passed away, and we're very happy to see them, and then we realize that they're no longer with us, and it's disappointing. And I quickly had a dream that I saw my father and my sister who passed away, and then they were smiling and happy till I said to them, you know what? I didn't realize you're not here anymore. And I stopped being happy and they stopped smiling. So is that something good for people to be able to connect to others who have passed and they have a good feeling afterwards?
Yes, it's wonderful. And a lot of people never tell anyone they have those visitation dreams because it felt so good to them and they don't want to lose that. They don't want people to belittle it or tell them it couldn't happen. So I just say treasure it. Don't try to interpret those dreams. Just treasure the feeling.
So you are revisiting old feelings and memories, and the people are coming into your life through dreams, and that's such a wonderful feeling. But thank you so much for being there for us. We really appreciate it.
Where can we learn more about you?
Yes, I want them to come to my website. It's dreamsynergy.com. Synergy's synergy.com. And I also have a special on my book for the listeners today. They can put in the code where the book, they can go to the book buying and put in radio, the number 2, and they'll get a discount on the book, and I will send them an autographed copy of the book. So I hope they will
take advantage
of that.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Just lastly, and the founder of the Institute for Dream Studies. It's been great having you. Thank you so much for being on with us.
And thank you, Dr. Frieda. And
absolutely.
I appreciate it. Enjoyed it very much.
Got it.
We enjoyed it as well.
Frieda.
We have many more dreams to talk about another time.
Yes, I hope so. I look forward
to it. Thank you.
And we can come back next week, next Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time for Living Out Loud with Dr. Frieda. Learn more about Dr. Frieda by going to her website at drfrieda.com.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Take care. Bye-bye.